All right, guys. All right. Look, this was going to be short and sweet, and I promise not to take up too much of your time, but I've been watching Hunter x Hunter, which is from the guy that also made Yu Yu Hakusho. Lit. But that's all I got for you guys. Make sure you follow me, Punch the Mouth Official on Instagram, official_PITM on Twitter. You can send questions. All right. Peace, guys. Later. Everybody, I hope everybody is well. I like having the microphone really close to my mouth because then I can actually hear myself, even though I really don't need it because I feel like I speak too loud. Sorry about that if you heard that. So let's get into this really fast. If there's one thing I forgot to mention last week is that Bellator/PFL had a card for the Bellator brand. Now, I'm going to say this, and I don't mean it as a knock towards PFL. They got a new deal, right? They got a new deal. But I don't see this Bellator entity lasting very long because I was reading before I hit record on this thing. I was reading the press release I got from them saying that it will host the 2024 programming of PFL. With that being said, I don't know if that means it's a multi-year deal, if it's a one-year deal, because what I want to say with that is, depending on how these 8 events do, that'll determine the future of the PFL Championship Series, as they're calling it. I honestly don't see it lasting very long. I will give it a minimum of this year to maximum 2 years. I don't see it lasting very long. And the problem is, like, look, most of these events are in Europe. And I believe the only event they don't have finalized at the moment is the final card. They have a date, which would be on New Year's Eve. I wonder if they're going to do that in Japan. I don't think so. But other than two events, which is the September 7th and the October 12th date, all these other events are in Europe. And look, for the most part, they're on Fridays. The one in Paris right now is going to be on Friday. The June 22nd one, Dublin, is going to be on a Saturday. But my point is, it's in the middle of the afternoon. The San Diego one on a Saturday. The Chicago one on a Saturday. The London one as well, it's on a Saturday. So other than this other Paris card, the rest of them are going to be on Saturdays. And I don't know if this final is just like they don't have the date finalized, but they just gave the date of December 31st because I don't see Bellator having its final event on a Tuesday. Maybe this was just a keepsake date, as they call it. But I don't know, man. And I want it to continue, right? But then now there are rumors that the May 17th card, which will feature Umar Nurmagomedov versus Alexander Shabli, right? Yeah. Oh, no. Is it? Let me see. Oh, no. Yeah. So I was right. The May 17th card will feature that. It will be in Paris, France. Now, there are rumors that PFL does not want to honor the $1 million check that comes with the Bellator Grand Prix. I will reach out to sources to try and get some answers on this. I can't promise you I will, but like, that's already a red flag, right? Like, these guys are promised something and they're not getting it. Like, so basically they did that tournament, well, not for nothing, right? Because at least we're getting a title fight at the end of the tournament, but they're still promoting it as the Bellator Lightweight World Championship belt between current champion Usman Nurmagomedov and Alexander Shavli is expected to headline the event. But see, they're not even calling it the finals of the Lightweight Grand Prix. Like, it's just a fight. So at this point, I would assume they're not honoring the $1 million. And to me, that's a red flag because I understand it's a new company. But if these guys were promised something, I feel that Bellator, I mean, well, PFL at this point should follow through with that. But if they're not going to, they're not going to. And we'll see. And then the other thing was Umar's positive test, right? Because he didn't fill out some paperwork correctly. I guess the 6 months have passed, right? How much did they give him? Let's see if I click on his name. It'll tell me. 6 months from the 7th of October, right? Is it retroactive? October, November, December, January, February, March. Yeah, so he would have served because it's over right now in April. So he would have served, so there's that. So he's technically in the finals, but now he has won no contest. He should honestly be 18-0. Because my understanding was he it would have been okay if he would have filled out paperwork correctly. That's my understanding of it. But let's go back to the card that just happened. Corey Anderson defeated Carl Moore. Patricio Pitbull defeated Jeremy Kennedy. Fabian Edward defeated Aaron Jeffries. Leandro Higo defeated James Gallagher. Manuel Souza defeated Tim White. I will say this. What I did like about it being on Max is that they're all on Max. Like, you're not going to have to switch from YouTube to HBO Max. Like, HBO Max said, okay, or Warner Bros. Discovery said, okay, we're going to take this from you. You're going to give it to us all. So once you turn it on, you don't have to move, which I feel is pretty nice. So Leandro Higa defeated James Gallagher. It's good to see James back finally in the cage, man. That guy has a lot of potential. He's still young. Fabian Edwards is going to get another crack at Johnny Eblen at some point this year. That's going to be in one of those 8 events. Because another thing you guys need to keep in mind is those 8 events, they're all going to have 2 title fights. So that's another thing to keep in mind. And the fact that Bellator went on ahead and announced their next 2 cards. So they announced the Paris card and the Dublin card. So which the Paris card takes place May 17th and then Dublin June 22nd. And then we won't hear from them again until September, where they go back-to-back weeks. They go San Diego and then the following week they go London. And then you don't hear from them again until Chicago. And then Paris again. So I would assume Johnny will either be on the Dublin card because they only announced Jason Jackson's fight for the Dublin card. Because for this May 17th card, they announced Patrick Minx will defend his belt. But before I get to that, Patricio Pitbull, that guy is the man. I don't know what's next for him, but he's the man. Corey Anderson versus Carl Moore. I mean, I had said this. I said Patricio Pitbull versus Jeremy Kennedy should have headlined the card, but I get why they did it because Carl Moore is European. I think he's from Belfast, right? And that's where they were? Yeah, he's from Ireland. Yes, he is from Belfast, so that's why he headlined. But I was saying Patricio versus Jeremy Kennedy should have headlined, but I get it. It's Carl Moore's home city. They want a hometown boy headlining the card. I get it. It's a smart play. Wordplay. I was what it was. Corey Anderson finally wins the belt. I don't know what he's going to do next. Because I assume what's going to happen is Vadim Nemkov is going to fight Ryan Bader. The reason I say that is because the PFL 1 lineup has come out. And on the main card, we have Ante Delia versus Valentin Moldavsky, Dennis Golstov versus Linton Vassell. And then you get the rematch between this Carmouche and Juliana Vasquez. Now what I'm seeing in this graphic is that you're either going to have to be a part of the PFL or the Bellator series, because for Valentin Moldavsky, for Linton Vassell, for Liz and Juliana, it has former Bellator fighters. So I guess, for example, now I don't think they can participate in any of the Bellator cards. I think that's my understanding with this graphic. I don't know for sure, but I think they're trying to keep it separate. Which, if that's the case, that's a good idea. A great idea. I'm with it because it won't muddy the waters. And I'm glad they're going to do the rematch. The only thing that sucks is here you cannot use elbows. So that makes me assume that the next heavyweight title fight for Bellator will be Ryan Bader versus Valentin Moldavsky. I mean, not Valentin. The other guy. I just said his name. The dude that just beat Bruno Capiloso. Vadim Nemkov. And of course, that would be a rematch, because if you guys remember, Vadim Nemkov is the one that defeated Ryan Bader for the light heavyweight belt. So we'll see, man. We'll see. But I'm predicting that now. Ryan Bader will fight Vadim Nemkov on one of these Bellator cards. Let's look at the UFC cards. Rose Namajunas defeated Amanda Ribas. Carl Williams defeats Justin Tava. Edmund Shabazian defeats AJ Dobson. Peyton Tabloid defeats Cameron Sayaman. Yusuf Zalal defeats Billy Quintanilla. Fernando Padilla defeats Luis Guajuelo. I don't know what a Bravo. What's a Bravo choke? I don't know what that is. And then with the prelims, Andre Lima wins by DQ because Igor Severino decided to bite him. I don't understand what possesses a man to bite another man. But like the way they said it, because Chell and DC were talking about it, the way they said it was weird, right? Because like you look at the bite mark and it looks like both the top and bottom teeth got him. And they're like, how did he do that? Was he able to get the mouthpiece? Because like the example they use is when Tyson bit Evander Holyfield. Like, they're saying Tyson struggled to get that mouthpiece out so he could bite him. But this guy, like, I didn't see the fight live, and like it didn't look like he struggled to take out the mouthpiece. And then he like bit him. So Igor is officially cut. The UFC has officially cut him. Like, like Chael said, he's like, dude, you couldn't do that at UFC 1. And UFC 1, they allowed almost anything and everything, but they didn't allow no hair pulling, no eye gouging, and no biting. So, like, what are you doing? It's 2024. Like, and it's true, right? Like, if they didn't allow it back at UFC 1, well, they're not going to allow it now. So that guy got cut. And then Lima takes it a step further and he tattooed it on him. So Dana gave him 50K. Edmund Shabazian looked like a world beater. I just want to see him keep winning, man. Keep winning. Rose Namajunas defeats Amanda Ribas. I'm going to say this. People are going to get mad. I don't care. I was talking to somebody. And he goes, Pat Barry ruined Rose. She looked like shit. I'm like, she looked like shit, huh? She won 4-1. Okay. And people are saying, well, Amanda is also 115. They're just fighting at 125. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. I'm not going to argue that. Like, I'm arguing she looked like shit part, okay? That's what I'm arguing here. You want to say Amanda is also a 115-pounder? Like, what Erin Blanchfield said, I can't knock her for it. We're going to get to that in a moment, but she's got a point. But if you guys are saying Rose looked like shit, because she's changing her style. Let me put it to you guys this way. Okay. And only one guy this doesn't apply to, or two of them that I'm going to say. But you guys didn't like Volk, right? You guys didn't like him. Now everybody loves him. Nobody liked Kamaru when he was coming up. Everybody loves Kamaru now. Like, he's the goal. He's the gold standard. And now, the one guy this applies to that I'm trying to say is, just because somebody changes their style and you don't like it, does not mean that they're fighting like shit. They're changing it, which is the part you don't like. Which, as a fan, I believe you have the right to, because we are the consumers, right? But at the end of the day, the performers are going to do what they're going to do. So my point here is, you guys remember GSP? That guy was in there kicking everybody's heads off. What happens to him? He lost to Matt Serra. He became a wrestler. And I remember this very well, because I used to love GSP up until that point, because I got into the mindset of, I don't like the way wrestlers fight, because all they do is just sit there and out clock the clock and stay in a dominant position and win the fights in a boring fashion. Disclaimer, I was a very big, I still am a very big DS fan, but as I got older, I realized, like, yeah, these guys probably don't want brain damage, bro. They probably don't want brain damage. So just because Rose is changing her style, and I'll say this, because like I said, we're going to get to what Erin Blanchfield said in a second, but I'll say this. If Rose, because she's number 8, she's number 7 right now, have her fight Kaitlyn Chookagian or Kaitlyn Serminara. Let's see what happens there, if she's not going to go back to 115. When the history books are closed, Rose Namajunas is going to go down as one of the best fighters ever to do it, okay? Look at where Joanna Jędrzejczyk is going, or as I like to call her, Joanna Champion. Look at where she's going. Rose beat her twice, okay? Look at the current 115 champion. Rose beat her twice. The only reason she's champion is because Rose didn't want to fight there anymore. The only reason, I shouldn't say that. The only reason she got another shot is what I wanted to say. All right? So my point here is, just because Rose is changing her style does not mean she sucks. And I still hold that sentiment to thought that if she does not break her finger in the Manon Ferro fight, it plays, I can't tell you Rose wins, that I cannot tell you, but it plays out very differently in the sense that I think it would have been more competitive. Again, I'm not sitting here telling you that Rose wins that fight, because I can't sit here comfortably and say that, but I can tell you it would have probably been very different. Again, for Rose, have her fight Kaitlyn, because the problem is the UFC has already announced that Valentina Shevchenko and Alexa are going to coach the next season of The Ultimate Fight. If it's going to happen in September, that's what UFC 304 would probably be at some point in July. Or unless they take July off because they're doing 302 June 1st, 303. Let me see. They might have it announced already, and I just don't know. Okay. So, UFC 303 and 306 location announced. I don't even know where 306 is going to be, unless that's going to be the spear. This UFC 303 will take place on June 29th at the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas as the pinnacle of the 12th annual International Fight Week, UFC 306. Okay, so there it is. So, if my math is correct, there will be a 304. I don't know where. People are saying Manchester. And there will be a 305 in August. Now, if I had to guess, I would say the August card, because keep in mind, the UFC, I think they have to bring at least two more events to the Honda Center, and they usually do it in August. So I wouldn't be surprised if UFC 305 was at the Honda Center. So we shall see, man. We shall see. So 299 was in Miami, 300 is in Las Vegas, 301 is in Rio, 302 is believed to be New Jersey. What is this? For the second time this year, the New Jersey Sports and Exhibition Authority seems poised to dedicate millions of dollars to an event at the Prudential Center. A resolution of the Board of Commissioners expected to approve Thursday morning with an allocate of $5 million to the Newark Arena for a mixed martial arts event next summer. Okay, there's that. There's that. So we're going to assume that Jersey's going to be the location for 301. 302, we have no idea where it's going to go. I mean, 304, I'm sorry. That is 302. So then 303 is going to be in Vegas. 304, we don't know. And I assume 305 will be in the Honda Center. I will reach out to the Honda Center to see if they can tell me if they are expecting at least two more events from the UFC this year. I'm going to make a note of that, and I'm going to do that tonight. But yeah, man. And here's another thing I want to say. And it's going to sound like I'm trying to get in good graces with the UFC, but I'm not. Like, Ariel Helwani went on his show saying, she's like, I don't understand why the UFC keeps doing fights at the Apex. But let me ask you this, and Ariel, out of everybody, knows, are the fights at the Apex probably not the best quality? I'll be the first to say, fuck no. But have you guys ever thought of it this way? Did you guys like the UFC 299 card? Let's leave 300 out of this, because 300, like, you knew it was going to be a spectacle. But let's talk about UFC 299. That was a good card, right? Peter Yan versus Song Yadong to open the card. Jeff Neal versus... Wait, I'm saying Jeff Neal, like, I'm saying for sure that I know he fought. Jack Delia Maddalena versus Gilbert Burns, MVP versus Kevin Holland, Dustin Poirier versus Benoit Saint Denis, and then Marlon Vera versus Sean O'Malley. I forgot that Ian Garry and Jeff Neal fought in February, but even, let's go as far back as that card, please. I'm just trying to make a point here. So the main card was Roman Coppola versus Alex Hernandez, Henry Cejudo versus Merab Dvalishvili, Ian Machado, Gary versus Jeff Neal, Robert Whitaker versus Paulo Costa, and Alexander Volkanovski versus Ilya Topuria. Two solid pay-per-view cards, right? Like, stacked, like, beyond stacked, right? Think of it this way, and if somebody, for whatever reason, if somebody that knows Ariel personally or professionally, please have him think of it this way. Those two fight cards that I just said to you, they're stacked, right? And, like, let's be honest, they're kind of random. Like, you don't expect those cards to be stacked. The UFC cannot give us this, and think of it this way. It's an $80 price tag at this point. On top of the $110 or something that ESPN charges you. So they have to do something, right? They have to do something to make it worth the consumer's while. Unless they come up with this new deal and no pay-per-view points. And they go to Netflix or HBO Max and they give it to us all for free. Then maybe they can go to other events. Because my point here is, if they were to do road events all the time, they can't give us, for what I call, mediocre cards, because there's no way they're gonna be able to sell an arena out. There's no way they're gonna get their money back. Whereas with the Apex, they can put this card on, they get their money from ESPN, like, yo, we're meeting our quota, and then as a trade-off, they can charge ridiculous amount of money for when they do have live crowds, like they are gonna have this Saturday for the Amazing Fight Night card. And then you get this crazy stack cards more often than not. It makes sense, right? Yes or no? Tell me. Pause this right now and think about it, like I just said to you. So I understand where the UFC is coming from. Do I like it? Fuck no, I don't like it. But I understand it from a business model, especially if they're going to keep high. Like, look, it's gotten so bad that they try to get you to buy it early by telling you, oh, if you buy it by this day, you get it for $70 instead of having to pay $80. Okay? I don't understand why they keep hiking up the prices. And I know that the pay-per-view numbers from last year weren't great. And, like, so I don't know if this is fact. Like, I can't tell you this is fact because I don't know. What I can say is it makes sense, right? It makes sense because I know the numbers for last year weren't great. I don't know if their new deal is going to include pay-per-view because pirating is killing them, bro. It really is. But let's move on to whatever Blanchfield said that's going to tie into Rose. Aaron Blanchfield, Rose Nama Yunus is better at 115 pounds. Sorry about that. Former two-time strawweight champion Rose Nama Yunus picked up her first win as a flyweight at UFC on Vegas 89 on March 23rd. She headlined the event at the UFC Apex in Las Vegas against 8th-ranked Amanda Ribas. Nama Yunus defeated Ribas versus unanimous decision and debuted in the top 10 women's flyweight rankings. It was her second bout at 125 pounds. She made her flyweight debut against Manon Ferreira last December and lost by decision. It goes, Nama Yunus made a move up to the weight class after losing the strawweight title to Carla Esparza in a rematch at UFC 274. Second-ranked flyweight contender Aaron Blanchfield believes Nama Yunus is better as a strawweight. I think she's better at 115, Blanchfield told the MMA Hour. I think just moving up a weight class 10 pounds, like 115 to 125, it's a big percentage of your body weight, especially when you're that small. She won against Ribas, but Ribas is also someone who's fought at 115. She's not that big of a girl, Blanchfield continued. She had one fight against Manon, and she lost that. I think she's a great fighter. I think she's got a lot of skills, but I think she's going to be a little outsized at 125. I mean, she's not wrong. But ultimately, like, I like where Erin went with this. She's like, I think she's going to be outsized for the weight class. I don't know if this is a good move for her. Move for her. I mean, I like that a lot better than blaming Pat Barry, I'll tell you that much. But ultimately, it's up to Rose to decide. Now, this is me talking, not the article. It's me talking. Ultimately, it's up to Rose to decide what she's going to do. I like the way she looked, to be honest with you. I liked it. But again, have her fight Caitlyn. I think that would be a good fight for her. Because another thing to keep in mind, she beat Jessica Andrade. I'm talking about Rose here. And then Rose beat Caitlyn. You're going to tell me, yeah, Adrian, but it's because Caitlyn Jessica hit her with the body shot and it hurt her. I'm like, that's fine. But Rose is also very much more technical. And again, I do assume that broken finger or hand against Manon played a big factor because Rose was doing very well in that fight. She really was. And then I think she got into her own head. Let's read something fun out of this right here. Ex-UFC champs Luke Rockhold and Tyron Woodley coach Ultimate Fighter style reality series for Hardcore FC. For those that don't know what FC stands for, it's Full Contact. Former UFC champion Luke Rockhold and Tyron Woodley are set to spend the next 6 weeks coaching a group of up-and-coming fighters in an Ultimate Fighter-type reality series for upstart promotion, Hardcore FC. Promotion officials posted about coaching assignments for Rockhold and Woodley, and multiple people with knowledge of the promotion plan also confirmed it to MMA Fighting. The fighters' involvement in the up-and-coming reality program series is called HFC Fight Show Reality and films in the United Arab Emirates over the next 6 weeks. I mean, that's good, right? Like, it's good because you're going to... I understand people are going to say, like, oh, well, you know, people are trying to just get money. I'm like, aren't we all? Aren't we all? Goes on to say, not much else is known about the series outside of Rockhold and Woodley serving as coaches. Despite both Rockhold and Woodley spending years in the UFC, neither previously coached the season of The Ultimate Fighter. Now they'll get their chance as a part of the new reality series for Hardcore, a promotion originally based out of Russia. At this time, it is expected that Rockhold and Woodley will only serve as coaches, and there are no plans for them to fight each other, which is different from the typical Ultimate Fighter format used by the UFC. I mean, it'll be interesting, right? Bellator tried it. It didn't work out for Bellator. And I want, again, like I was saying earlier, I don't want there to be demise for Bellator. I want other promotions to succeed, man. I really do. Because the more promotions succeed, the more fighters get exposure, the more fan bases are built. And I know, I would at least hope people that listen to this agree with me. Okay, last thing for the week. Disappointed Don Davis reacts to Kayla Harrison leaving PFL. Says planned fights were bigger than anything in the UFC. Okay, I love Don Davis. Like, nobody loves that guy more than me, I can promise you that. But, bro, you gotta stop saying things like this. Like, what is it? What is there? The only thing you can tell me is the Chris Cyborg fight and the rematch with Larissa Pacheco. Oh, and there's another piece of news that I want to get to that I saw yesterday. Okay, ready? Kayla Harrison, arguably the longtime face of the Professional Fighter League, is now in the UFC. And PFL co-founder Don Davis wishes he was still on the roster. He believes the promotion will just be fine without her, but they put the promotion will be fine without her. Following Harris's win over Aspen Ladd at the PFL Championship event this past November, Davis believed Harrison still had one fight left on the PFL deal, but then she ended up signing with the UFC and will face Holly Holmes at UFC 300. Cannot wait. Cannot wait. That's one of the fights I'm most excited about. If you have not seen Kayla Harrison fight, you're in for a treat. When asked what happened with the situation, Don Davis gave his honest response. I don't know, Davis said on the MMA Hour. And I talked to Kayla, and I believe Kayla and I have a good relationship, and I don't know what happened. So I can only speculate, and I don't like to speculate about things that are about other people. So, one, I don't know, and two, I'm disappointed. So I think, unlike Dana, when he talks about other fighters, tends to be negative if they leave, tends to be negative if they don't do what the UFC wants them to do. Here, I'm disappointed. PFL in 6 years has never lost a fighter. And remember, in 1 year, in year one, in year two, in year three, PFL was not a strong company. We're a new company, so there were many reasons for fighters to leave, and they never did. Now, did we release up fighters? Yes. Did we upgrade fighters? Yes. Because we were always getting better. Never had a fighter leave. So this is the first time in 6 years. And ironically, PFL had never been stronger. And the matchups we had for Kayla here, for Kayla Harrison, were better than the matchups she's going to have in the UFC. No, they're not. No, they're not. I'm sorry, they're not. Especially because she's fighting at 135. If she was fighting heavier, I'd be like, well, you got a point. But no, they're not. I love you, Don. You know I do. But no, they're fucking not. Unless the other chicks are named Chris Cyborg and Larissa Pacheco. But other than that, no, they're not, okay? God, damn it, bro. She was going to fight Chris Cyborg, okay? There's one, which I believe is the biggest fight available in the women's division possible. I agree with you 100%, my man. Unless Amanda Nunes comes back. It's a legacy career statement. It's a legacy career statement fight for her. Then Larissa Pacheco. There it is, Don. You got it. Who's the third one? I want to know who the third one is. Because outside of these two fights, there is nobody, okay? Whereas in the UFC, if she's going to fight at 135, she has the roster of 135 where she has Holly Holm, Juliana Pena, Raquel Pennington. If Amanda Nunes comes back, Amanda Nunes. if Gina Carano or Ronda Rousey decide to come back, them, but they won't, they won't, they won't. I want to make that very clear, they won't. It goes on to say, Larissa Pacheco, who beat her fair and square. So Kayla's call it next 2 to 3 fights at PFL are harder than they are at the UFC. Again, no, they're not. No, they're not. Because on top of her fighting elite athletes in the UFC, she's got to worry about a weight cut. Well, she didn't have to worry about that in the PFL. Oh, my God. I cannot deal with this right now. Hold on. Don, what are you saying? No, they're not. Not better. Again, if she was fighting at 145, 100%. But remember what I said back then? Outside of the 135 class, these were the two fights for that girl. Like, there's no reason for her to leave the PFL. But then she threw a curveball at all of us and said, I'm going to fight at 135. By all means, everything I said before that statement, fucking throw it in the trash. Because that's what that is, okay? She's going to the UFC. She's going to probably fight the best girls the UFC has to offer. If the weight cut goes well for her, she can be fucking world champion. I know people don't want to hear that, but Kayla's style will help her be world fucking champion, okay? It goes on to say, oh, I don't know. I can't explain her motivations for leaving, and I was disappointed. Well, her motivation for leaving is if she gets that UFC belt, even if she doesn't fight Amanda, she's considered the best, a 2-time gold medalist. Like, look at all the love Ronda got. And Ronda was only a bronze medalist, okay? This chick is a 2-time gold medalist. And on top of that, if she gets a UFC belt, she fucking owns Henry Cejudo for life. If you don't know what I'm talking about, please follow Punch in the Mouth TV when I relaunch it. And I will put up a video of what I'm talking about. In fact, I'm going to make a note of it because I forgot about that. It goes on to say, Harrison competed 16 times for the promotion, which was originally the World Series of Fighting before transitioning to the PFL. Now, it was the World Series of Fighting. Ali Abdelaziz, who is her manager, was an executive, and I believe Don Davis and Peter Murray bought them out because there was a lot of stuff going on. So, like, you had Justin Gaethje in the World Series of Fighting. You had I don't know if Kayla fought when it was World Series of Fighting. I don't know. And it goes along with one fight for Invicta. Winning all but a decision loss to Pacheco at the PFL World Championships in November of 22. Additionally, it seems that a fight with Chris Cyborg was inevitable after the PFL absorbed Bellator this past November. It says with inevitable, but I think they meant to write was. Unfortunately, that fight may never happen, and Davis admits that he's sad about that, or not having any fight involving Harrison and his promotion. But in the end, Davis says the PFL will march forward without her with great success. That being said, because PFL has never been stronger, 80 fighters ranked in the top 25, 33 fighters ranked in the top 15 were fine. That's another thing, Don. Stop fucking saying that, please. Stop saying that. Like, the more you say shit like that, the harder it is for people like me who like your promotion. It's harder for us to defend. Can you please stop saying that? My God, bro. It goes on to say, Davis explained, it's almost like when people post about UFC, they're always fine if Conor's not fighting this year or something like that. So our brand, our ratings, our financial zero impact. Oh, okay. Zero impact to Kayla not being here. Oh, my God. I wish I did not read that. I fucking love Don Davis, but he has to stop saying shit like this, bro. Did he just compare Kayla Harrison to Conor McGregor? Oh, my God.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Holy shit, bro. And then he goes on to say, but personally, I don't like when any fighter leaves, so I wish she was here. Like, dude.
Oh my.
I don't know. I don't know. And I like PF. I like Don a lot. He seems like a genuinely nice guy, but if I was their PR guy, I'd be like, bro, you need to stop saying that because you don't hear the UFC saying that bullshit. The more you say it, try to get it over, the more people are going to push against it. Okay, last thing. Brandon Moreno announced his break from MMA. I reached a limit in my mind. Brandon Moreno is taking some time away to reset. The two-time former UFC lightweight champion announced on Monday that he is taking a break from MMA following a split decision loss to Brandon Royval at UFC Mexico City in February. In an 8-minute message on Instagram, Moreno, 30, emphasized that he is not retiring but simply needs some time off after suffering his first two fight losing streak since 2018. I just think I've reached a limit in my mind and I'm tired, Moreno said in Spanish, translation courtesy of MMA junkie Danny Segura. I like that guy a lot. It's not goodbye or anything like that. It's just wait for me. Be patient with me. Let my body, but more than anything, let my mind, my head compose itself and recover. Recover. That's what we're going to get back to doing things right. The last time that happened, I came back and I became a world champion. I like to think I can do the same. And when I return, I'm going to go on a tear. I still think I'm an incredible fighter. And I have all the qualities and abilities to be champion again. I mean, when I saw, like, can I be honest with you guys? When I saw Brandon's last fight, I saw a guy that's content. Like, I didn't see a guy that was hungry anymore. I saw a guy that was content. Like, you could see the difference between Brandon and the way Brian Ortega fought. Brian Ortega wanted to fucking rip Yair Rodriguez's head off because Brian Ortega is still fucking hungry. But Brandon, I feel like he's so famous in Mexico at this point that he's content, man. And that's not a bad thing. And I'm not saying it as a knock to him. But again, we're seeing it with Conor. Like, once you're content, you got to get out. Because the motherfuckers in this game are hungry motherfuckers. And they see you as their meal ticket. MMA fighting's Damian Martin confirmed with Moreno's manager that the Mexican fighter's Monday announcement. You know, only a break from MMA and nothing more. I mean, again, if he's content, I would rather see him retire. But that's all I got for you guys. Make sure you follow me. Punch the Mouth Official on Instagram. Official_PITM on Twitter. Peace, guys. Later.